Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, the CDC votes to put the COVID vaccine on the immunization schedule. That and what's going on in New York? Something very interesting is happening in New York. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is America's battleship for freedom, liberty, and the next generation. All things Turning Point USA can be found at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. The CDC has officially begun the process of making the COVID vaccine on the childhood vaccination schedule. There is an entire committee called ACIP that met yesterday. They're going to meet again today, and there's almost zero chance that they will not put this on the COVID vaccine. That is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. It is a 15-person board. Now, these 15 people, they apply to get on the board, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services picks you and selects you. And let's play tape of their vote yesterday. Play cut 103.
Dr. Cotton.
Cotton, no conflicts, yes.
To Ms. McNally.
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Lehr.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Brooks.
Yes.
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 And Lee, no conflicts, yes. This vote now passes with 15 yeses. Go ahead. And zero noes.
No conflicts, really? They're never going to be administering vaccines? And so this is 15 people on this advisory board that are voting to get your children closer to having to experience a mandate. Now, it's not a mandate. They don't have that power, thankfully. But it's going to get on the official immunization schedule. We explained yesterday what that means. So who are these people exactly? We looked around and our team was not able to find a single media organization that named the names of every single person that approved to put the COVID vaccine on the official childhood schedule. That will assuredly result in more damage and destruction than benefit and blessing. It is almost a guarantee. This is not a virus that significantly threatens young people. And we know it is admitted by the Florida Surgeon General that this increases myocarditis, pericarditis, and other factors. So who are these people? Well, let's name their names. And you can contact them. Do so respectfully and truthfully. Dr. Lynn Butta, Dr. Beth Bell, Dr. Oliver Brooks, Dr. Wilbur Chen, Dr. Seibel Sinais, Matthew Daly, Camille Cotton, James Lohr, Grace Lee, Sarah Long, Veronica McNally, Catherine Poling, Pablo Sanchez, Nirav Shah, Helen Kip Talbot. Now, when you start to actually go into some of the biographies of these people, the 15-person board of which they voted unanimously to put the COVID vaccine, the mRNA gene-altering shot, on the childhood vaccination schedule, you learn a lot. And so they say that there's no conflicts. Well, for example, Dr. Bhatta is a nurse. How could you say there's no conflicts then? So they're poised to make the final vote today. Almost guaranteed they're going to do it. It's a two-part vote. They recommend for scheduling the vote today, and I think it's going to happen. So this one person, Dr. Bhatta, is a program clinical consultant. Her biography states that, and she's a nurse, by the way, not a doctor, that Lynn Bhatta uses pronouns, she, her, hers pronouns, and is a public health nurse at the Minnesota Department of Health, serving as the immunization program clinical consultant. Minnesota strikes again. There you go. How about this person? Catherine Poling, who is on the vaccine approval board. Why is the media not covering this? These people have enormous power. So Catherine Poling is a professor of pediatrics at Wake Forest. You should keep your children far away from people like this. Co-authored this article in a top scientific journal, quote, Racial Justice in Academic Pediatrics, a call for editorial action and our plan to move forward. Quote, racism permeates nearly every aspect of American life, beginning with the lives of children. It's stuff like this, the endless blathering of racism and diversity and inclusion. That's who's on your CDC approval board. Because some of you are emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com. Who's approving this? Who's doing this? Why is it that these kids are going to potentially have to be forced to take the childhood vaccine? Because of these people. How about this guy, Jamie Lohr, owner of the Cuyahoga Family Medicine in Ithaca, New York, as a vaccine fellow. Oh, really? You're trying to tell me that these people aren't receiving money under the table? Yeah, right. In the past, he approved vaccine boosters for incredibly flimsy reasons. When Moderna boosters were approved, he said this, quote, there are probably many people who are going to get a Moderna booster who don't need it. However, given the situation we're already in, which approved a Pfizer booster, there's enough people who are already looking for a booster. I'm inclined reluctantly to just go ahead and recommend a similar pattern for the Moderna booster. Or how about Dr. Oliver Brooks, who is on the committee, chief medical officer at Watts Healthcare Corporation in Los Angeles. Black guy, went to Howard, spent his whole career in LA, and in 2020, he spoke at a committee about the vaccine saying, quote, that racism can be detected at a cellular level and that systemic racism can be found all the way down in your cells. On an appearance on C-SPAN in May 2020, he dismissed people protesting to reopen the economy by saying most of those protesters are white. This is your vaccine approval board. These people. Oliver Brooks, chief medical officer at Watts Healthcare, saying that the protesters are fine because they're almost all white and exclusive of African Americans. And so the CDC board is now poised to vote later today to put it on the official vaccination schedule with these incredibly radical, corrupt activists, one after the other, after the other. So what does this mean? Obviously, it means liability protection, as we talked about yesterday. Obviously, it means that this is going to be pushed on children that do not need this. And where is the institutional Republican Party fighting back against this? Where is the Republican Party saying, wait a second, why are we vaccinating our children? Answer, at least Carrie Lake is speaking out about it. Carrie Lake yesterday said that she is never going to force this vaccine on children in the state of Arizona. And it is being met with massive applause, massive support. Leaders in red states need to respond every single time the federal government does something dumb and wrong. Don't just write a press release. Do something that leads the country, leads your state towards a happier and better place to live. If you go to Baccia's tweet, Lynn Baccia, one of the people on the vaccine approval board, and you just read this stuff, it is pure left-wing propaganda. And by the way, 12 states have current laws that automatically match CDC guidelines. So if you live in Virginia, Massachusetts, Tennessee, New Jersey, Vermont, or Ohio, this then gets put on the automatic guidelines. Because then maybe if you live in Ohio and your kid wants to go to soccer practice or go play football, they might say, well, are you up to date on your CDC immunizations? You might say, well, I don't want to get the mRNA shot. They say, well, it's what we do here. That's the significance of this. So 12 states have current laws that automatically match CDC guidelines. They don't approve their own stuff. This is one of the biggest stories happening here. What a disservice. What an immoral, corrupt, unspeakable act by this board that's going to harm so many children. So here's the easy takeaway. Tennessee, Virginia, and Ohio need to immediately change their vaccine laws. Immediately. I don't know if Mike DeWine is going to do that anytime soon in Ohio. Look, rights, immigration, foreign policy, marriage, sex, well, look, these are all in the news right now. Big part of our political dialogue, and we talk about them. At the heart of so many different campaigns this election season, but what did our founders have to say about this? Well, the greatest college in America, Hillsdale College, I was just there with Dr. Larry Arnn. They do such a beautiful job. They have an amazing new online course. I'm actually in the process of taking it right now. I can't wait to finish it. Can't wait to tell you all about it. They have the best way to learn about the founder's deep and wise insights into human nature. Today, you can join Hillsdale professor Thomas West and David Azarad and explore all of these ideas. And by the way, when you guys go to charlieforhillsdale.com, you guys can take the Churchill course, the Aristotle course, the Great American Story course. You guys can take the Shakespeare course. You guys could take the Roman History course, the Federalist Papers course, the Supreme Court course, the Intro to Constitution course. If you're maybe, I don't know, a little down, I have an idea for you. Are you actively learning enough? You know, I'm not saying that learning is the answer to depression. I'm not saying that. But I guarantee you that people are depressed or probably not learning things that are beautiful enough. Learning is exciting. You dive into it. It gives you telos. It gives you purpose. It gives you a cadence to your life. No better place than Hillsdale College to do that. Look, the Real American Founding, a Conversation, is the place for you to be able to learn about America's founding. The midterm elections are right around the corner, and the founders, they thought about a lot of these things. And I love Thomas West. I can't wait to finish this course. So go to the Real American Founding, a Conversation, by it's very simple, charlieforhillsdale.com, charlieforhillsdale.com. Learning will enrich your life. And one final thing about Hillsdale College, they get it. They take zero federal government money. They have none of this diversity, equity, inclusion garbage. They are the best. CharlieForHillsdale.com. They're fighters. They love liberty. They love truth. The kids there are charismatic. They're bright. They're wise. And they get it. CharlieForHillsdale.com. Take the recent course, The Real American Founding, a Conversation. Check it out. CharlieForHillsdale.com. So people are asking, Charlie, what does this mean exactly? Does this mean that it's going to be mandated? Not necessarily, but in certain states, it's going to be put on the official schedule that then school districts follow to be able to mandate. And also, let's just put it aside, for parents that are not as clued into this, parents that are not as well-read, it gets on the official CDC website that doctors put up on the wall for reference. They say, this is what your children need. This is what your children need to do. This at 2 months, this at the... And if you ask questions... Most pediatricians say, gotta have it, you're a bad person. They will scold you. We have a great pediatrician. We don't have that issue, thankfully. So I want to play a piece of tape here, cut 104, Dr. Harvey Risch does a great job. Let's play cut 104.
My trust level in those institutions is zero. I have zero trust in the CDC, and I have zero trust in the FDA. They have shown their complete corruption with regards to industry sponsors, and it's despicable. I believe that the people in charge of those agencies should be prosecuted in court for that degree of corruption. They've shown that their allegiance has been to their companies and not to the American people.
My trust in the CDC is zero. Well, now the CDC is going to put this right to mandate children. And by the way, we're going to list all 15 names on charliekirk.com. Be nice. Be truthful, be peaceful. I have to say that in case someone has an idea to do something they shouldn't do. So don't do that. We condemn that. And by the way, Dr. Harvey has a Yale PhD. He's a big deal. And to say that I have no trust at all in the CDC, in the Center for Disease Control, Dr. Harvey Risch is really something. And so the significance of this, I think this is going to play into the midterms. I think there's a lot of moms out there that have kept their mouths shut, that probably don't like Donald Trump, that might think Republicans are right about some things and Democrats are right about other things, but they do not want to have their kid be forced to take the mRNA shot. There has got to be suburban moms out there that are going to look at this and say, this is too much. And we got to get the message out. You got to send this out to suburban moms out there. And by the way, a lot of these suburban moms might be pro-choice or pro-abortion because of the issue of, well, my body, my choice, medical autonomy. Well, how can you be about that and then also be okay with this? And the answer is a lot of them aren't. A lot of them think it's insane that a 7-year-old or a 5-month-old or a 6-month-old might very well have to take an immunization against a virus that does not pose a significant threat against them. By the way, 97% of parents have said no to this. What other issue is there 97% agreement? 97%. So 97% of the country thinks that this is a bad idea, and yet 100% of the CDC board thinks it's a good idea. 97%. I think this is a major winning issue, and Carrie Lake, by the way, is leaning in right on this issue and correctly about why on earth are we doing this to our children? Why are we saying to a generation that is not at risk from getting or dying from this, this now has to get put on the official vaccination schedule? Can they make it more transparently blatant and clear that we are a pharma state? Let's play cut 60.
Now we're getting some information after a while. We have time for find out just how bad the collateral damage has been. The pandemic erased 2 decades of progress in math and reading. Anxiety and depression way up. The body mass index increase doubled for kids 2 to 19. Drug overdose deaths. This pisses me off. I see these headlines all the time. The pandemic didn't do that. The way we handled the pandemic did that.
The way we handled the pandemic did that. I wish I had those numbers handy when I was at Austin because some kids said, oh, the pandemic and the lockdowns weren't that bad for young people. And I was able to rattle off some of the numbers, but not as crisply as Bill Maher. I think one of the stories that is going to manifest itself in the midterms that is not showing itself in polling is going to be pent up pandemic reaction backlash. I think a lot of people have been looking for an opportunity to send a message of the lockdowns, the mask mandates, the vaccine mandates. And I don't think that's even being asked in polling. Yeah, okay, so economy, of course, crime, immigration, all these things. I think there's a lot of people, I think there's going to be a lot of silent COVID voters out there, a lot of silent lockdown voters that hated what happened in the last couple of years. And they've been looking for an opportunity to send a very clear message. Look, the world is in total chaos and it's going to cause massive food shortages like we've never seen. Are you prepared? Do you have a stockpile of emergency food if the unthinkable happens? If not, now is the time to get some emergency food for you and your family. Go to preparewithkirk.com and you'll save $250 off a 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest preparedness company. Each 3-month kit is packed with delicious food, breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks. To avoid fights, get one kit for each person in your family. Right now, My Patriot Supply has no limit on how many kits you can acquire, and you'll get free shipping on your entire order. This is the lowest price in 3 years, so stock up now and save really big money. Make sure you have this food when the time comes, which could be soon. Go to preparewithkirk.com. That is preparewithkirk.com. Check it out right now, preparewithkirk.com. There is something happening in the great state of New York. I'm telling you, Lee Zeldin very well might become the next governor of New York. New York is in total free fall. What was once a great state and a great city, New York City, has just fallen apart under the intentional dystopian policies. It's so sad to see. New York used to be so much fun and interesting and, dare I say, almost tolerant. Like I, as a conservative in 2013 and 14, when I used to visit New York City quite often, I would spend a week in New York City. I never felt unsafe. I never felt that if I was wearing, I don't know, there wasn't really a MAGA hat equivalent, I guess a Romney shirt, how weird is that? If I was wearing some Republican paraphernalia, I don't think someone would have stopped me. That was not the city 10 years ago. It just wasn't. And New York has completely changed. And I really think how the left reacted to Donald Trump has changed so many of these places. It's just, it gave a license to go to the most extreme fringes of the American Academy and just allow them to run the current left-wing regime. It changed so much. I think Trump was the glitch in the matrix. People that were otherwise kind of liberal-ish, but had leanings towards, you know, some radical elements, they resisted it. But Trump just broke that entire thing. And it's way more dangerous. These cities are filled with garbage. It went from corrupt to actually broken. And I say this all the time, and it drives people nuts when I say this. I get mixed emails on this. And Chicago's a great example, which is I much preferred the very corrupt mayors of Mayor Daley. They were so corrupt. Everyone knew they were corrupt. They were paying off everybody, and they were getting paid off. But the city worked. It just worked. I'm not saying that's the only way you can run a city, but if you're giving me the option between the super corrupt guy that pays off the developers and gets paid off by the developers or the ideologue, Lori Lightfoot, I will take corruption over an ideologue any day. Of course, it's lesser of two evils. You're talking about a major city. You're trying to tell me you're going to get someone who really wants to clean up Chicago? Of course not. I will take the corrupt person that will actually want Chicago to be a really nice place or New York to be a nice place in a second over the person like Bill de Blasio. So the question is, do I think Bloomberg was corrupt? No, I don't think he was an ideologue, though. I don't. I think Bloomberg was actually a pretty good mayor of New York. I do. Some conservatives disagree with that. Compared to de Blasio, he was awesome. And so New York is just completely falling apart. And it's not the only city that's doing this. I want to play a piece of tape here of something that's happened in New York. It's a news report. It's shocking. Let's play Cut 100.
When migrants first walk in after intake, they will see a recreational room set up with rows of couches, TVs, Xboxes, and board games. There will also be a phone bank so migrants can connect with family in order to find more permanent housing. Next, there is a cafeteria that will provide migrants with three meals a day, and snacks, coffee, and tea will be available 24/7.
Those meals are all culturally appropriate. It is South American fare.
Oh, yeah, it's South American fare. These people are criminals. They're trespassers, border jumpers, and line cutters. And every day they're here, they're continually breaking our law. What are they migrating from exactly? What's the crisis? I would love someone to tell me. Oh, they're from climate change? Oh, from not having work? Yeah, that's not our problem. Sorry. They should be immediately deported back to their country of origin. I keep saying that. It never happens, but it's worth saying, I suppose. But no, instead, if you break into America, you get an Xbox. There is a very serious New York movement against all of this garbage that's happening. It is bubbling up. It's bubbling up against Eric Adams. It's bubbling up against Kathy Hochul. It's bubbling up against AOC. I mean, for example, you look at this. The New York Times has reported polls show Kathy Hochul's lead dwindling as Lee Zeldin gains in the New York suburbs. The race for governor of New York appears to be tightening, according to a pair of polls released on Tuesday. Now, New York is a very difficult state to poll. It has a ridiculously urban population and a very rural population with pockets of mid-level cities like Albany and Buffalo, Rochester. And so you put all this together, it's a very difficult state to poll. And then you got Long Island that's becoming increasingly right-wing in a very serious way. And also, New York is not Ohio. New York is not Florida, where pollsters spend a lot of time understanding the proper equation, the proper tabulation of how to put together the right polling metrics. So, for example, Florida is polled all the time. It's polled presidentially. It's polled in governor's races. It's polled in midterms. So over a period of time, pollsters, they realize, oh, I missed on that. We got to have 10% from the Jacksonville area, and we have to have 5% from the Tampa area, and we have to have 15% from the Orlando area, and we have to make sure the demographics are correlated in the I-4 corridor. You get the point. Same in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania polling has become a cottage industry. Now, is it always accurate? No, but it's within the margins at times. And New York, though, is not polled a lot because it's so reliably Democrat. And you might remember George Pataki. He won a surprise governor's race. The last poll had George Pataki down double digits before he won. He either won in 1998 or in 2000. You guys can fact check me on that. Maybe it was 96. I know he was governor during 9/11. So that was what I, so obviously it was before that. And this is, what, by the way, one of the reasons why AOC, when she won in her primary, shocked the world. Nobody paid attention. No one knew how to poll. It's very, very difficult to poll. So if the polls are showing a tight race with Chuck U. Schumer and a tight race with Lee Zeldin and Kathy Hochul, the Gretchen Whitmer lookalike, that's a warning sign for New Yorkers, for New York Democrats. And I will say this. Producer Andrew is a Californian. We don't hold that against him. If you were to say, Charlie, who would be more likely to give a middle finger to the Democrat Party with inflation, unease, and just kind of what's happening? Would a New Yorker or a Californian? I'd say a New Yorker. A New Yorker, I think, yes, they're Democrat, but I think a New Yorker is far less loyal to a Democrat identity than Californians. I really believe that many Californians assume their identity of free love, live and let live, even though it's not what it is. Abortion on demand as part of their love of California is just with the Democrat Party. I think part of that might be in the New York area, but I think the New Yorkers, in my opinion, based on my experience and based on polling, they'll be more likely to give a metaphorical middle finger to a Democrat every once in a while than someone in San Francisco or in Sacramento. Okay. I think New Yorkers are much more pragmatic than an average Californian. All that to say that there might be a sneak attack happening in New York with Lee Zeldin, and I think Chuck Schumer might be in some trouble. I don't know if I'm not willing to say that he's going to lose, but I think it could get down to single digits. A Quinnipiac poll has suggested an even tighter race. And Quinnipiac, by the way, is a left-wing polling outlet, with Ms. Hochul leading by just 4 percentage points. The narrowing gap suggests that the New York voters were growing more and more concerned about the state's direction, much as recent polling nationwide has indicated that the economy and stubborn inflation remain a top-of-mind concern. This is the New York Times I'm reading from, as Republicans have expanded their edge over Democrats ahead of November's midterm elections. So New York is a mystery. It's very tough to poll. You can get sneak attacks. You can get shocking results there. But you got to also look at the vibe. Look at 91, AOC trying to scoff it off. She's dancing to her protesters, chanting, AOC has got to go. Play cut 91. I hope you guys heard that because I did. That is just so cringy. Oh my goodness. I don't know what she's trying to do there. Some sort of viral moment that kind of falls on its face. But AOC, it's her getting heckled saying AOC has got to go. And then her saying, listen, listen. So there, I reenacted the entire thing. Not exactly sure what she was trying to get at the end. So you have all these different dynamics at play in the state of New York. The creation of these illegal migrant shelters. By the way, they're for single adult men, these illegal migrant shelters. And so you know what we should be saying to single adult men? Go back to your own country and create a life for yourself. I mean, it's one thing, children and women, obviously we should have the same policy. But, you know, we always kind of have this picture, oh yeah, they're migrants. These are like 19-year-old men. Like, you're not going to starve to death in Nicaragua. Go back home, honestly. Go figure it out. Stop being a coward and turning your back on your own country just to go steal stuff from us. AOC dancing to protesters. I'm telling you, there's something happening in New York City. There's something happening in the state of New York. A lot of people are starting to wake up and push back in a very, very serious way. I'll play another piece of tape here, kind of what's happening more broadly in the midterms. Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, yeah. This is the New York Times. This is their midterm message. Play cut 59.
This white power and white culture is fragile and under attack. And until we deal with the root of why they are afraid of that, so afraid that they would violently defend it from happening, then we get nowhere because we're talking about other things as if those are the root, when in fact the root is this root. Mm-hmm. And it is rooted in a kind of white fragility and a browning of America.
A white fragility, as Robin DiAngelo made millions of dollars selling that back to corporations. Charles Blow from the New York Times. That's their message. Their message is vote for us. If you're not, you're fragile and white. And they wonder why New York is all of a sudden in play. Telling you, on election night, we're going to keep a very close eye on New York. And by the way, we're going to start plugging this. On election night, please make plans to watch us, our program. I think you're going to really love what we have to say and our commentary. And we're going to be doing this on Real America's Voice, especially as the Arizona returns start to come in. I want to make sure Real America's Voice becomes your home for all midterm coverage. One of the most successful things we've ever done has been our election stream coverage. We did it for the 2020 election. We did it for the California gubernatorial. And, of course, we did it for the Arizona primary, of which the numbers were extraordinary. The Pennsylvania Senate race is tightening. The latest Real Clear Politics forecast shows that Dr. Oz very well might squeak it out after all. After being labeled dead politically dead. John Fetterman is finally being exposed for the radical that he is. Let's play cut 14. John Fetterman, abortion rights deserve to be every woman. It's hard for me to even make sense of what he's saying. Play cut 14.
Abortion rights deserve to every woman, regardless of what state that you live.
Yeah, that didn't make much sense. He is collapsing in the polls. His exposure of crime, the exposure, his kind of pro-criminal posture, if you will. Newsweek, Dr. Oz predicted a triumph over John Fetterman in RCP Senate forecast. Republicans say that they believe that Dr. Oz will take it above John Fetterman. The calculation is drawn from RCP, average of recent polls, which puts Fetterman up 3.2 points. However, the RCP calculated polling average for the past election significantly understated Republican support by a mean of 5.2 points. Boy, wouldn't that just be amazing on election night to celebrate the defeat of John Fetterman. Let's play another piece of tape here. This is just CNN slobbering over John Fetterman. Listen to this. It's so disgusting. Play cut 89.
Hasn't released his full medical records yet. Is this enough to assuage critics?
I think it is. I don't even think he needed the note, to be honest with you. You've seen the guy is a political athlete, but one of the best ones I've ever seen. He's pure talent. He looks and sounds and acts like the state of Pennsylvania, similar to like a Tim Ryan, right? This guy has showed that he's more than capable of doing the job.
Political athlete. Unbelievable. Saying that John Fetterman is a political athlete. The latest Real Clear Politics projections currently have Adam Laxalt picking up in Nevada, Oz holding in Pennsylvania, Bud holding in North Carolina, Rubio obviously holding in Florida, Ron Johnson holding in Virginia, and J.D. Vance holding in Ohio. What is the latest polling out of New Hampshire? I haven't seen that in a while. They really think that it's going to be tight? That's amazing. Wow. I have not seen... That's really interesting. Keep your eye on New Hampshire. Wow, that's really something. New Hampshire has always been kind of a far-off, distant goal for many years to win back that seat. Got Don Boldick up against Maggie Hassan. She's just the worst. Yeah, the latest Real Clear Politics average says that that's right within striking distance. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.